Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Your restrictions in the Crypto 6 case have loosened a little bit.
Yeah, loosened a little bit. I mean, I'm allowed to use YouTube and Twitch and stuff for purposes other than gaming now, so I can actually catch up on some of the music videos and stuff that I've missed, and that's wonderful.
That restriction never made any sense whatsoever.
It didn't. I mean, a lot of them didn't. Like, having only one social media platform didn't make any sense to me. I'm officially back on Twitter, so that's wonderful.
All right.
In case I happen to get, you know, banned from YouTube again. Yeah.
Probably get banned from Twitter again,
too. I do get banned from YouTube all the time, but I meant Facebook. I will still have somewhere. I've only been suspended from Twitter once, and that was for repeatedly calling Sununu a fag until evidently he or someone else reported it.
Oh, it was just suspended, I see. I was telling Ian today, I was like, she did get kicked off Twitter once, and I said it was for that.
It was temporary, but it didn't go away until the person who was managing my account then went into Twitter and manually deleted the tweet. And at that point, they reinstated the account for whatever reason. Very, very peculiar.
It's ridiculous. So congratulations on that. Now you have more freedom to do things online. You get more show prep abilities and that sort of thing. So
yeah, I can use Wikipedia and stuff now. So if there's something I need to learn about, I can actually go and learn about it.
It'll make the next year of awaiting the trial a little bit more tolerable.
It's highly likely that more residents will be transferred to Howard Springs today, either as positive cases or close contacts. We've already identified 38 close contacts in Binjari, and that number will go up. Those 38 are being transferred now. I contacted the Prime Minister last night. We are grateful for the support of about 20 ADF personnel as well as Army trucks to assist with the transfer of positive cases and close contacts and to support the communities.
Okay, so translation, what he just said was that anyone who is a case or a close contact, so somebody with whom they can prove that you have had, you know, you've been at the workplace with this person or you're a household member or you walked by them on the street, I don't know, but, you know, they're gonna ask them, hey, who have you had contact with? And then they're going to go and snatch all those people up. And they literally are being taken by the Army, the Australian Defense Force, that's the ADF, that he mentioned, in army trucks to what is called Howard Springs Quarantine Center. Now, were you guys on the show when we talked about the quarantine centers in Australia?
I have not heard about it.
Yeah, like some weird name like Happy Land. It wasn't Happy Land, it was something else.
Yeah, there's a new one where they're building. I know you're talking about it was, I forget it
as
well.
Yeah, something weird like that.
There was one that hadn't been built yet that they were announcing. Wellcamp.
Wellcamp.
That's what it was. Wellcamp. Now, two towns, and they're very small, Rock Hole and Binjari with, I couldn't even find the population of Rock Hole, but Binjari, just a few hundred people, have been put into a hard lockdown, which means that the only reason you should be outside of your house, according to these government gangsters, is if you have a medical emergency.
What shocks me most about how Australia is handling this is that you have to be inside your house. You can't be in your backyard on your property or anything like that. You have to actually be inside your house.
No new cases were confirmed on Sunday, but Gunner, this is the premier or whatever, the chief minister of Northern Territory in Australia, said more should be expected in Binjari, and lockdown arrangements for nearby Catherine and Robinson River were likely to be in place for several weeks. Quote, what has become clear to us based on the level of movement that has been happening in some communities outside of Catherine is there's a real risk the virus has reached the connected communities further away. Given this, we are issuing a mask mandate for communities in the west local government areas. And then he names them off. Gunner said Binjari was a low vaccination community and urged people to get vaccinated against COVID.
I can't believe Australians are still putting up with this nonsense. You've been locking down off and on, mostly on, for the last year, and it hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
It has not eliminated COVID-19. It should be clear at this point that their life is going to be perpetual lockdowns every few weeks if they continue to allow this.
So just because 9 people got COVID, it doesn't say that they're like serious, because remember,
or they died.
It only said one lady's in the hospital and she's 78 years old.
Yeah, so she's
pushing
it anyway.
She cannot die. She can't die. That would be so much worse than locking down all of Australia and making everybody lose their lives and freedoms.
So these aren't people who are seriously ill. They're just people who have COVID. And they're being forced into a quarantine camp, which is being, you know, somewhat overlooked in this particular story. It was mentioned.
You know, I mean, worth pointing out, if they were actually seriously sick, they would be in the hospital along with this woman rather than a quarantine camp.
Yep. Let's see. A woman in her blah, blah, blah. The outbreak was triggered by a 21-year-old infected woman who illegally entered the Northern Territory in late October after contracting the virus in Victoria.
That was more than a month ago. Well, based on the odds.
Yeah, yeah. A few weeks.
It was at least three weeks ago, and it's just now causing an outbreak.
And how would they know?
They wouldn't. They just make
this
stuff
up. They just wouldn't know. And that could be someone that, you know, an FBI agent or whatever they have there instead of FBI, that they've had walk somewhere and then, oh, gotta lock everyone down.
Well, yeah, you're right. They just make stuff up. But what they can do is they can point to this woman because at some point somebody figured out that she lied on her border entry form. Well, I mean, the people who are defending this, I'm sure there's plenty of people defending this. I imagine they're going to say, well, that's not a fair comparison, Aria. We're taking these people so they can get better. We just want them to be well.
But they're just fine. They're not sick. If they were sick, they would be in the hospital.
Look, we're not going to put people to death. We're just going to take them away from their freedom for at least a 2-week minimum because we got to keep them in the camp for 2 weeks unless they, you know, until they can finally test clear. And
well, they didn't start by killing Jews in Nazi Germany either.
No, that's true.
They started in Australia with killing corgis.
What happened to corgis?
A guy hit a health worker hit a corgi with like a lead pipe and somebody's pet corgi in a neighborhood. Don't know why.
Oh, Australia has done worse than that. In order to prevent people from traveling across territories, one of the Australian police forces or whatever murdered like 42 dogs or something like that.
Yeah. They killed the corgi. They killed that corgi that was just like running in a neighborhood and belonged to somebody in the neighborhood.
I hadn't even heard that. So that was during all this?
Yeah.
The Aboriginal Medical Services Alliance and councils of various different areas said they were, quote, confident that the NT government is taking all appropriate steps, unquote, to protect the communities involved. And now unvaccinated travelers will no longer be able to enter the NT from Monday under sweeping border rule changes. The only exception will be essential personnel and territorians returning from jurisdictions where the virus is not present, called green zones. Fully vaccinated arrivals from red zones where the virus is present will be able to quarantine at home for 7 days, but will need to have a rapid antigen test upon arrival and return a negative PCR test within 72 hours. This is just to come home.
And you have to be fully vaccinated.
Unvaccinated people can leave, though, right? Are they free to leave if they don't want to live under this tyranny?
Absolutely not. I don't think anyone is allowed to leave Australia at the moment.
Yeah. Did you mean leave Australia or just leave the territory?
Leave to the territory or leave Australia. I don't really think they're allowed.
I guess that would depend on the neighboring territories.
Well, if you're not allowed to leave your house, I don't know if you'd be allowed to go to another state.
I'm guessing you're unable to travel as an unvaccinated person. You have to
sneak out of the country, like it's Cuba or something.
Yeah. They must also get retested. 5, 8, and 14 days. Again, still talking about vaccinated arrivals from red zones here. So after the initial testing, you have to get retested.
So that's 5 total tests.
We actually read a story from someone who had been in one of these camps. Now, initially what they were using these things for was for people who were traveling coming back into Australia. So for people who...
Why would anyone want to travel back there? If you got out of Australia, good for you, man.
Right?
Stay out.
Unfortunately, not... Immigrating into other countries isn't exactly an easy thing to do, so at some point the other countries are like, okay, you've got to leave. Well, where do you go? If you want to be a world traveler, there are ways to do this, right? Like you stay in one place for 3 months, then you go to the next place, and then you go to the next place, and you can kind of... There's ways to do this. Like, I think the rule in Mexico, for instance, is that you can stay for like 90 days or 180, whatever the number is. There's like a certain number of days you can stay for, and then you have to leave for at least... some amount of time that's like, you know, less than a day or something. So like you can go into Guatemala, one of the connecting countries.
I think Guatemala connects.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's South America.
It's Central America, but you can go into to Guatemala and stay there and, you know, go shopping for a day. Or I don't know if you have to spend the night there or something like that, but there's like
you have to at least step yeah. foot outside of the border.
Right. And then you can go back for another 90 or 180 days or whatever it is. And then you're legal to stay down in Mexico. That's not legal advice. That's just what I've heard from people who live down there. And obviously there's some people that just stay down there and they don't bother crossing the border and they're technically illegal. Bonnie and I were just looking today at the proposed legislation for 2022, and the legislation or the bill for not legalization, but decriminalization of psilocybin.
Wasn't there one for all drugs?
There might be, and I have not seen that one yet. But the one for psilocybin, the text is now available. It's been assigned a bill number. I don't have it offhand, so I can't tell you what the bill number is, but it's there. And so we were able to actually look at the text. And the proposal is to basically make it the same kind of decrim level as cannabis, which is a $100 fine for adults if they get caught. You get caught once, you get caught twice, it's $100, it's $100, and then I think it goes to $300 on the
third
time.
But it's always just a fine.
I didn't see anything in there about a misdemeanor arrest, which is something that they did include in the cannabis one, which is the third time or the fourth time you get popped for cannabis as an adult. It does become a misdemeanor in New Hampshire. But I did not see anything about an arrest in this case. So,
okay, awesome.
But again, it's just the first proposal of this bill. It, you know, could be amended. I was explaining to Bonnie what the amendment process is. And, you know, for instance, a nice amendment would be to actually change it to just not just psilocybin, but any plants. Entheogenic kind of plants. So, you know, that could also include iboga. It could include...
That would be a good change.
Cactus, right? So mescaline or peyote, DMT, things like that.
Some of us in the New Hampshire state legislature are quite libertarian and anarcho-capitalist.
Oh, yeah.
And we're trying to do the good work to decriminalize drugs, for example. And although I'd like to see us, you know, go the Portugal way, at least I'm pushing forward with some legislation to decriminalize, you know, little by little, things like fentanyl and opioids. In fact, I got a call from a DA, in fact, a sort of a conservative Republican type district attorney, who said, Mark, we're just swamped with all these ridiculous cases, and I'm tired of putting 18-year-olds in jail and charging them with felonies for small possessions of drugs. So it's an uphill battle, as you all know, but I'm working on it and others are working on it. I feel like we're making progress a little bit.
I'm just curious, this DA that is complaining about having to do all this prosecuting.
Yeah, can't they just not do that?
Is he going to, well, that's another good question, but is he going to actually come and testify in favor of your legislation? And by the way, what is your legislation proposing?
Yes, he is. He's going to come testify. And this is particular to fentanyl and some of the opioids. And that they said, yeah, he said he would come testify in our committee. So I think that's going to go a long way.
That does make a difference.
Why isn't there a bill that would just deschedule these drugs? They don't need to be scheduled at all.
They do not. The problem with legislators who are, in general, old folks and who generally like government.
Yeah.
Is that they defer to the federal government. And if the feds say it's a scheduled drug, then everybody here will use that as an excuse to not decriminalize it here.
Yep.
Because then we'd be in conflict with the U.S. government.
Which brings me to my next question, Mark. What have you heard and how do you feel about the proposal that Mike Sylvia, who is also a great A-plus rated Liberty rep out there, has made to have a constitutional amendment to allow the people of New Hampshire to vote on saying goodbye to the federal government?
I think it's fantastic. Nice. Mike Sylvia is an amazing patriot and activist. He is fantastic. We are lucky to have him in New Hampshire. And I support that initiative. Let's see what the people of New Hampshire say. If the legislature is supposed to represent the people that vote for them, then let's give them their say.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a hard political position to take, even for somebody who might be against independence for New Hampshire. They might be a loyalist to the empire. They should still allow the people to vote on it. So let's talk about people and their economic concerns here, Aria. There's been another study done by Gallup, and they've been doing these over some number of years. They've been looking at Americans and, well, their level of economic concerns. Now, what that means, I don't know. I haven't read the study, but you've taken a look at it. So tell me more.
Yeah, so only 26% of people name an economic issue, all sorts of economic issues, as the most important problem, meaning they lump unemployment in with that group, you know, the shipping shortages, they lump all of that into an economic problem.
Issue. All right.
Americans' concern about the economy is measured by the percentage who mention any economic issues as the most important problem facing the United States has reached a high point during the pandemic. So it is going up, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is different than I thought. It's not just the other, you know, 74% don't care about economic issues. It's not their
number one. Yeah, so do they tell us, by the way, what are the number ones in this particular story?
I don't recall that specific.
Okay. All right.
26% of Americans now cite an economic concern, such as inflation, unemployment, or the economy in general, as the top problem. I would say it should still be higher than that. It should be everyone's top problem right now. If they're paying any attention whatsoever, they should be concerned about the economy.
It affects like every other aspect of your life, so I think you're right, too. Mm.
Well, at a high point for the pandemic, the percentage raising economic concerns remains relatively low in Gallup's historical trend dating back to 1991. In both September and October, 6% of Americans said the economy in general was the most important problem. Before now, the percentage had not been in double digits since January 2017. While the 7% of Americans citing inflation as the most important problem facing the country is similar to the 5% who did so last month, it is significantly higher than the 1% who named it in September.
Now, if this is, I've got a Gallup.com poll here, and this is actually from back in June. So I imagine this is the same poll. It's just I'm looking at an older story because I suspect they continue to do this like as the months go on.
It seems they do one every month.
Yeah, and they cite here 22%, at least back in June, up from 16 in May. 22% cited government as the nation's most important problem.
Well, it's the nation's biggest problem, at the very least.
So, I mean, again, these are very wide categories, right? Like, government is definitely a problem. What people are saying when they say that, you know, I don't know. Obviously, the government people are a huge burden on the economy. You know, a lot of the things that are going wrong economically are created by the government.
Not to mention the entire governmental system. It's just a cast of parasites.
Correct.
That's all they are.
And you're saying it's what, 20 what percent right now overall?
26%, I think it was. I'd have to scroll all the way back up to see.
Presuming this is the same poll, it's up quite a bit just from the summertime.
Well, the last time that mentions of inflation were significantly higher than now was in May of 1985. So people are more concerned about inflation now than they have been since May of 1985, which is good. That tells me people are waking up. Republicans and independents are far more likely than Democrats to say inflation is the most important problem facing the country because, as you mentioned during the break, I think it was, Democrats are far more concerned about race relations than they are the crippling economy, the collapsing economy all around us.
Which affects everybody.
Yes. Yeah. There are smaller, I mean, it disproportionately affects minorities.
Sure does. Well, it affects the poor.
Yeah. Right. Fair point. Neither inflation nor the economy in general is the most frequently mentioned issue overall. In fact, more than twice as many Americans named the government as the top problem, as you said. More Americans also mentioned the coronavirus than the top two economic issues. But as you mentioned, people mentioning COVID-19 as their primary concern is down.
Correct.
Or at least it was in June.
What's down as well, looking at these numbers here from the study you're looking at, September coronavirus/diseases was 21%. So it was actually the number one concern back then. Then it went down to 15 in October to 13 in November. So down quite a bit.
What's another $2 trillion on top of the $27, $28 trillion that the national debt's already at?
Well, it's about 10%. You know, not quite 10% more, but...
Well, what's that?
10% more inflation. Oh, no.
Who's counting?
We'll just print 10% more.
That's probably what they're going
to
do.
I mean, once you get to the point where you're dealing with trillions of dollars anyway, the numbers become kind of meaningless. Because there aren't nearly enough Americans to make those dollars actually meaningful or useful or valuable. Not when you have 20-something trillion dollars in debt. And instead of hearing the number, thinking, oh, my God, that is obviously primed to collapse. That's an enormous amount of debt that my brain can't even comprehend. Americans go, oh, yeah, let's just add a few more trillion to it. It's fine. They'll just print the money they need.
Well, you'll be a millionaire soon enough at this rate.
Or a trillionaire if you last long enough.
It could happen.
Without having to eat your neighbors or getting eaten by your neighbors.
People don't think it can happen here, though.
It can happen anywhere. I mean, it is happening here. It's just at a slower rate.
Yes.
Until the last year happened, in which case the rate increased substantially, and it's only going to continue to increase because that's how inflation works. And before you know it, we'll be at the period of hyperinflation.
Yeah, I mean, they keep talking about lowering inflation, but what they actually mean is lowering the rate of inflation. They can't take the money, you know, the money out of the supply, or at least they're not going to. They could, I guess, in theory, they could. You know,
they could just knock off some zeros, man.
Well, that's still, as we've seen in Venezuela, that doesn't change anything. It's probably legal to have the toad, but is it legal to lick the toad? Further, is it legal to somehow extract the psychedelic chemical 5-MeO-DMT from said toad and store and or utilize that that chemical? I suspect it is not.
Well, as I'm not an expert, never having licked a toad and can't imagine doing such a thing. I would speculate that since the creature is poisonous or venomous, which one? I don't remember which one I want right now.
Yeah, I never really thought of toads as being particularly dangerous, but I guess you might trip if
Do they just, like, secrete the stuff?
That is a good question. I don't know, but apparently, according to Luke Kenton over at the U.S. Sun, people are smoking toad venom.
That's really weird.
Well, that is better than licking the toad, which is what I thought they were doing.
I thought they were licking the toad, too.
It's probably pretty gross either way, like, imagine smoked toad venom is probably pretty, yuck.
I'm wondering how they harvest it. Like, maybe they touch it with something that makes it want to secrete its stuff.
Yeah, is it just come off its back?
And then they, like, use some kind of thing to scrape their back or something?
So they're, like, torturing this poor toad so that they can get... That doesn't sound like the kind of thing someone who had truly done DMT would be willing to do.
Earlier this week, legendary boxer Mike Tyson, who, believe it or not, is only 55. Like, when I think of Mike Tyson, I feel like he should be older than that.
Me too.
But
that's because in boxing, you have to retire at like 23.
Yeah, he's only 55. Credited the venom known as Bufo with helping him kick a dangerous cocaine habit and lose more than 100 pounds in less than 3 months.
I mean, good for Mike Tyson. He has had a roller coaster of a life.
A life, yeah.
I mean, it's good to see him, you know, moving forward, progressing, becoming a better person.
No, he really has, too. In a lot of, I've seen him in other stories about how his personality has undergone some pretty serious changes, and he's just become this much more compassionate individual over time, and I imagine this is a factor. He spoke during a conference in Miami claiming that he, quote, died, unquote, during his first trip, and said using the drug has provided him with an entirely different perspective on life.
Well, it could certainly feel like you died and you experienced the death.
They call that an ego death in trip parlance.
They mentioned that during this article as well.
He says, I did it as a dare.
Why?
He says,
I dare you to lick this toad.
Well, remember, they're smoking, apparently, the toad venom.
That's even worse in a way, right? Because you're going to extract this stuff and then somehow smoke it. Doesn't sound healthy.
He says, I was doing heavy drugs like cocaine, so why not? It's another dimension. Mike Tyson is saying that he does Bufo about 3 times a day and has tripped dozens of times already. And he cites this as a major change to... his personality, and he, you know, has had his ego die, basically, and has seen that death is beautiful, as he says here. I mean, he's really got some interesting things to say about this. And, you know, when you think about Mike Tyson, you don't think he's got much interesting to say at all. But it turns out he's actually a really thoughtful guy now, and he's not like this monster who's biting people's ears off.
I was going to ask, did someone else bite his ear, or did he bite someone's ear?
He bit Holyfield's ear. Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's changed a lot since then, apparently.
I think he also pushed his mother down the stairs, and I think he was accused. I don't know if he was... No, I think he was convicted of raping a woman. I think she was his wife or girlfriend at the time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But I mean, he was a coke addict, and he was alcoholic,
heavily
probably.
On steroids. Yeah. And those aren't excuses, by the way, but it's like he was a severely damaged person.
Well, you are, to some extent, what you eat or do. In this case.
And now he's turned all of that around.
He really has. So according to the story here at The Sun, the-sun.com, Tyson, who discovered toad venom 4 years ago, says the drug has made him more creative and helps him be more present. Similar to the former heavyweight champion, Hunter Biden, claimed in his recent autobiography that the psychoactive drug helped him stay off of crack cocaine for more than a year. While toad venom is not any more physically dangerous than other psychedelics, it is more powerful, which comes with substantial risks of its own.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't do DMT unless you've done other psychedelics before, and you have at least some idea of what to expect, and you're fully aware that it's the most powerful one out there.
And if you're responsible, you will do it with a sitter who is not doing the DMT, and they will sit there with you just to make sure you don't get up and, you know, do something that you weren't expecting to do while under the influence of this thing. Speaking to The Sun, Martin W. Ball, PhD, who is a non-dual entheogenic educator, author, and host of the Entheogenic Evolution podcast, stressed the drug's potency and said that taking it can mess with one's entire concept of reality.
That's kind of the point.
He said, it's so profound and unique that it really can't be compared to any other psychedelic, and it's in a class all its own. Within seconds of inhaling the smoke or vapor, the subjective experience is that one is dying. If the individual can choose to let go and surrender to this process, then there is the possibility of having a full, non-dual experience of absolute oneness. However, if any part of the ego does not let go and surrender and deeply allow the experience to unfold, it can be extremely traumatic, difficult, frightening, and can cause lasting after effects that are difficult to integrate. I think about Chris Cantwell, of course, when I think about people who have not had beautiful experiences on DMT.
That was him on DMT. I don't know why I thought that story was him on mushrooms.
The story is he was at the Porcupine Freedom Festival and smoked DMT in front of some other people who he may or may not have known. So probably not the best set and setting to do it. And that's
that
really
sounds like something Christopher Cantwell would do.
Yeah. And this was back when this was before he became racist Chris Cantwell. And this is back when he was just crass comedian libertarian Chris Cantwell.
See, if he had maybe been willing to actually go in and fight those demons, those inner demons, maybe he would never become racist Chris Cantwell.
You know what? You might be right about that. He had a terrible trip. I mean, it was a horrifying experience for him.
Was he like screaming or just like quiet?
He had some sort of negative like physical reaction like that. I did not watch it personally. I didn't see that happen. I just heard the stories about it. And I heard about it from Chris. Like, he did not have a good time on it.
Well, but that's psychedelics for you. I mean, if you've got some baggage you need to deal with, you need to know going into any psychedelic trip that you may very well end up having to deal with that baggage. That may not
odds
be why
good.
You want to do the shrooms,
right?
But it's going to happen eventually.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.